ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. With less than 24 hours to go before a partial government shutdown, House Speaker Mike Johnson has arrived on Capitol Hill saying another deal will be voted on this morning. ABC News Chief Washington Correspondent Jonathan Carl.
Overnight, President-elect Donald Trump doubled down, saying there will be no deal unless Congress extends or eliminates the debt ceiling. This after an 11th-hour deal backed by Trump failed badly on the House floor, as a whopping 38 Republicans defied him and voted against it.
A stabbing at a school in Croatia's capital of Zagreb has left a 7-year-old dead and 3 other children and a teacher wounded. The attacker, described as a 19-year-old, was also wounded. Amazon workers represented by the Teamsters continue walking the picket line, demanding better pay and health insurance benefits. Starbucks baristas in 3 cities also striking. The FAA expanding its do not fly drone provisions to more parts of New York State. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
There's new information in the Madison school shooting, from the names of the victims to a man police say was planning an attack of his own. Madison Bureau Chief Savannah Tomei Olson continues our coverage.
The Dane County Medical Examiner's Office released the names of the 2 people shot and killed at Abundant Life Christian School. They are 14-year-old Ruby Vergara and 42-year-old Aaron Michelle West. The report says they died of, quote, homicidal firearm-related trauma, end quote. Ruby's family chose to publicly post her obituary. They wrote that she was a big reader and played keyboard in the family band and loved to sing. She has a brother and had a special bond with her pets, cat Ginger and dog Coco. Meanwhile, West was a long-term substitute teacher at Abundant Life Christian School and also has kids who go there. And more new information. 2 people shot are still in the hospital fighting for their lives. We've learned the other 4 who are expected to recover are now home. Meanwhile, a California judge has ordered a man who was allegedly talking to the shooter and planning an attack of his own to surrender his weapons. Court documents show the FBI served a 20-year-old man in Carlsbad, California, with a gun violence restraining order. According to the documents, the man was texting with the shooter and told her he would arm himself with guns and explosives to target a government building. Now, this gun violence restraining order is a civil issue, not a criminal one. We often call these red flag laws. They allow law enforcement to temporarily seize the weapons of someone who's been deemed a threat to themselves or to others. California has red flag laws. Wisconsin does not. And here at home, Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes says the shooter had 2 handguns, but only used 1 of them. He says federal authorities are tracing both firearms. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Jordan Love says he's good to go. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers holding practice this weekend, getting ready for Monday Night Football after suffering a knee injury in September and later a groin injury. Now, in late December, quarterback Jordan Love was asked how he's feeling heading into this week's game against the Saints.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling a lot better physically, you know, not really dealing with any lingering injuries. So it feels good being out there, and, you know, it definitely helps being 100% and not having to worry about anything being out there on the field.
The Packers 13.5-point favorites over New Orleans. NBA, the Bucks are on the road tonight against the Cavaliers in Cleveland. Then tomorrow night, they'll be back home against the Washington Wizards. The Badgers basketball team hosts the Detroit Mercy Titans Sunday at 1 p.m. Badgers center Stephen Crowell on improving after a rough start to the season.
I just got to keep giving credit to my teammates and my coaches pushing me these past few weeks, and just being coachable, I think, is the big thing. You can't point fingers. You got to look yourself in the mirror and just figure it out.
That's the Badgers Stephen Crowell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It will be breezy this morning with a little more off and on light snow, although I don't expect much more in the way of accumulation. And then the wind will die down. We'll clear out this afternoon with temperatures in the mid-20s here today. Tonight it'll be clear, 8 above. Tomorrow partly cloudy, 19. We're back to near 30 by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Happy holidays, everybody. For my last show before I go on break, I'm joined by political editor Dan Schaefer for his naughty and nice lists and his wish list for 2025. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. So you made it, huh?
Yeah, I made it through the snow. It wasn't too bad.
No, it wasn't. How much earlier did you leave?
Only like 5 to 10 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I got up fearful that it was going to be. In Milwaukee, we kind of got about 4 inches. We got a little bit more than what, people expected. I went to bed last night. I thought that was going to be the end of it. I got up this morning, and, after I removed the snow last night and realized got about as much there now as I did when I removed it last night. So anyway, it's Friday, and that means the one and only Sandy Williams is back in the saddle again. Good morning, Chief.
Yeah, I flew back from Bozeman, Montana, ended up coming home in the middle of the night. It felt like Santa Claus.
Well, you had been...
I went down the chimney, which was not the way I normally enter the house.
Well, you had been dreaming for a white Christmas, and you got your wishes, huh?
I guess, yeah. I didn't know it would be this white. All the planes were delayed. This was happening in Minneapolis too, and around the country. So there were lots of plane delays. So yeah, I got to know the Minneapolis airport very well, very, very well.
Well, you know, Sandy, we've been, you know, for those who don't really and aren't excited about having all this snow, we've been pretty fortunate over the years without having, you know, so much snow, right? I mean, we've actually been getting snow in January.
Yeah, last year we had just about 3 weeks of actual winter with snow, and the rest of it was like North Carolina. But, Wisconsin is not actually a heavy snow place. I mean, we don't get lake effect snow like Buffalo, New York, or a place like that, but we typically can count on snow. I would say, you know, what we're experiencing right now feels like what a normal winter used to feel like when we were younger, before the climate didn't start changing.
So, Sandy, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but, we know about Doge on the national level. I don't know if you knew that even right here at home, Robin Voss is
Yes.
He wants a nose for state government. That's Andy Whitworth.
Well, you know, it's not the first time that, you know, it used to be very common that governors would have commissions of lay people, citizens, who would be advising the government on things. And there have been efficiency business leaders who've been asked to come in and look at government agencies and make recommendations on how they can become more efficient. I mean, this isn't the whole, the concept of having something like DROGE isn't so very troublesome. What is troublesome is the power that seems to be being handed to the citizens, who are not just common citizens, right? I mean, the clearly the lead person on this whole DOGE operation nationally is the richest man in the world, and someone who's developing a following that's undoubtedly going to challenge Donald Trump. In fact, in the public media, Elon Musk has a bigger following than Donald Trump. At the state level, we'll see. There's no one in Wisconsin in the private sector who can be the tail that wags the dog in quite the same fashion as Elon Musk, I don't think.
So, Sandy, we've been here before. As long as you and I have been together and you've been appearing, at the end of the beginning of a new year and towards the end of the old year, I don't know how many years in a row we've talked about this and the debt ceiling and the budget. And so they're going to shut down the government. And you always so cool and calculated. Oh, by the way, did I introduce you?
That's all right.
We'll just
proceed. Okay. I'm the mystery guy from the North.
Sandy Williams, for those of you who don't know, he's my co-host, and he appears every Friday and Tuesday on the Earl Ingram Show. So Sandy, you and I have done this dance two-step before, and I've been in sometimes all out panic. Hey, they're gonna shut down the government. And you always so cool and calculated says, well, I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to come to some kind of agreement. Always at the 12th hour.
I think the problem is that the media is the ally of the politicians who want to create a sense of hysteria and pressure. The media likes nothing better than to create a hysteria because it causes people to get worried, turn on their station, listen to what they have to say about it. But, I don't think Donald Trump has the stomach for having the government shut down for any length of time at all. I mean, is it going to shut down? It could do it momentarily, but, a shutdown isn't going to last a week. This is not a situation where, the government will go be insolvent, stop paying its bills exactly. So, they have a continuing resolution process. We've had shutdowns before. What usually happens is the things the public likes best get shut down first, the public parks. But I think this is going to get resolved because the things they're fighting over mostly are sort of ideological principle, number one. Number two, these continuing resolutions can't really stand the light of day because they're basically filled with silly fat, silly pork. I don't quite understand how it is that we get to this point and then it gets resolved with the kind of compromises that you see in the bill. But both parties are complicit in it. This is not the Democrats trying to inflict the Republicans with some pork bill that's all filled with all Democratic wishes. Political Washington's political realism will carry the day by the end of the weekend, is my prediction.
Well, Sandy, what makes this different is they had the agreement that they always get right before the holiday. Democrats and Republicans both shake hands, they hold their noses, and they say, okay, have a Merry Christmas to one another. See you, next year. And that same thing happened this time as well. They thought that they had already had this done. And then this figure from left field begins to send messaging. This guy who's bigger than life, apparently, who invested $270 million in Trump's campaign And now all of a sudden he starts bringing pressure while Donald Trump is not even aware. Oh, well, we don't know that, but whether or not Donald Trump put him up to it, we don't know that part of it. But the conversation is that Donald Trump didn't know that he was doing this. And he starts bringing pressure on Congress people, a public figure.
I think this is Elon Musk just trying to flex his muscle in this capacity as the Doge chairperson or whatever we want to call this.
But his commission. Muscle is considerable, right?
Well, the muscle is considerable, obviously, because, you know, his following on X and his capacity to get the word out. The other thing is that he's kind of a mythical figure in a lot of people's minds. I mean, one of the things about the American public is that we have this this aspirational view of things. All of us want to be Elon Musk. You know, Elon Musk came from South Africa without lots of money in his pocket and obviously has generated the biggest fortune in the world. And to some people, that's the kind of mythical champion that they want to follow around. So part of the American character is that instead of developing a great deal of envy and anger at the very wealthy, we tend to listen to them and respect them and think they're heroic figures. So Elon Musk has got that going for him. I think the other thing he's got going for him is that Donald Trump thinks that he's a heroic figure because Elon Musk is as rich as Donald Trump would like to be. You know, Donald Trump's wealth is, I'm sure to him, his wealth feels very fragile because it's been built on a kind of a house of cards. It's a brand. He's suspect at even being a billionaire, or was until very recently, until he's some of the things that have now come his way because of his political positions have allowed him to maybe get somewhat more substantial wealth. But I think he idolizes Elon Musk. People predict they're going to fall out. I don't think so. I think Elon Musk is the money bag that Donald Trump needs. And number two, Elon Musk has such an oracle through his ex, the old Twitter vehicle, that Donald Trump can't tolerate having Elon Musk as his enemy. So he's not gonna give Elon Musk the back of his hand like he has so many other people. So this prediction that they're going to have a falling out, I disagree with. I think Donald Trump is the puppet, and I think Elon Musk is the puppeteer, and Donald Trump might be happy in this circumstance so long as he's viewed as a very powerful person.
You know, Sandy, we're talking about a guy like Donald Trump almost being subservient. I've never seen him ever, but I guess he's never been around a guy worth, you know, $300 or $400 billion either.
And growing, you know,
right.
Like it was 250. And the amazing thing is, you know, we watched Elon Musk go from the brink of bankruptcy 15 years ago, 10 years ago even, to being, you know, maybe $500 billion today. It's crazy wealthy, but unfortunately for us, I think Elon Musk wants to flex this muscle. He can't ever be president. He's a South African national, native born, but he might be able to run the country, and I think he's going to try.
All right, 855-752-4842. Phone lines are open as always. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. This conversation will continue.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Heroicdeed.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams was denied access to over $4 million in matching public funding for his 2025 campaign due to questions over an ongoing federal investigation and accusations of financial mismanagement. The U.S. Department of Justice filed charges against the mayor in September, charging him with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He is also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal these transactions, according to the DOJ. The New York City Campaign Finance Board ruled December 16th that Mayor Adams' request for $4.5 million in matching funds would be denied. The chair of the board said in a statement, "After thoroughly reviewing all available information, including the details of the indictment of Mayor Adams, the board has determined there is reason to believe the Adams campaign has engaged in conduct detrimental to the matching funds program in violation of law, including the Campaign Finance Act and board rules." New York City's campaign finance system provides an 8-to-1 match for small donations of $250 or less for mayor and $175 for city council. Such small donor financing systems promote transparency, discourage big money, and encourage less affluent candidates to run. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
News from the center, WRCE.
But rest ye merry billionaires, let nothing you dismay. Forget your workers' families going hungry on this day. And save yourselves from income tax you'll never need to pay. Oh, tidings of corruption and greed, corruption and greed. Oh, tidings of corruption.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Friday. It means Fridays with Sandy Williams. Sandy, the music.
Well, the music is Christmas-oriented, as you could tell, but it was also aimed at maybe some of the issues of the day. That one, I think, is particularly appropriate as we talk about Elon Musk and the Doge Committee and the king and his court. You know, the assemblage of billionaires at the top of our government is kind of breathtaking.
All right, let's go to the phone lines quickly before we got some other things we want to talk about. Good morning to you, Sherry from Horicon. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. Good morning, Sam. I have a problem. Tomorrow morning, we've been planning this for months and months. My daughter is getting married at the Capitol in Madison in the Rotunda. Now, if the government closes down, would the Capitol still be open for her wedding?
Well, happily, Wisconsin's government runs on a funding level that's independent from the federal government. So there should be no connection between the operation of the state capitol and the federal government shutdown. So I think your daughter's wedding is good to go.
Oh, thank God. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm sure you probably tossed and turned all night last night, not knowing the answer to that.
Yeah, and congratulations. And the Rotunda will be a beautiful place, and I think they have a big, beautiful Christmas tree in the middle of it. Well, that sounds like a spectacular venue.
Yeah, it should be wonderful. They got the tree from Rhinelander this year, so and all the students put up ornaments they made about the state parks. So yeah. It should be a really neat tree.
Have a wonderful day, and I wish your daughter the best.
Yeah, thank you for listening, and have a Merry Christmas and a great wedding. So Sandy, this is an article by Chris Brennan of the USA Today. Will there be a government shutdown? Trump wants the clout and the chaos. Trump asked Republicans not to support a bipartisan bill that would avoid a government shutdown. Then he blamed Joe Biden. Did you forget that what Donald Trump's first term as president was like? This week we get a reminder. Governing is for losers. Burning things down so you can be illuminated by the flames is all the rage again. America's government may be funded when Friday night becomes Saturday morning, or we all might lurch into another Trump government shutdown. The scramble is on to vote on that in the U.S. House. Likely Thursday night, Trump on Thursday afternoon, back to new funding proposal. So this guy says Republicans officially just want chaos and attention. So, Sandy, can they blame this on Democrats, which is what I'm hearing? I'm watching the news and I'm listening to Republicans, and they're saying the Democrats are causing this shutdown.
Well, I remember a scene in The Odd Couple, the movie, where the one guy throws the plate of spaghetti up on the wall to see if it'll stick. That's what's going on right now. Both the Democrats appear and say this is the Republicans shutting it down, which seems like a relatively realistic analysis of it. And the Republicans appear and say no, it's the Democrats. And I guarantee you that tomorrow there will be focus groups and polls taken by both parties to try and figure out who the American public is believing about the cause for the shutdown.
Well, let me ask you, if they had an agreement, the Democrats agreed, Republicans agreed, then, how can it now be deemed equally?
Exactly. That you're talking about the facts of the matter. But what the politicians right now are trying to set the table for a varied set of perceptions, okay? And so it's the public perception that matters to the politicians, and they're trying to control perception right now. I don't think the Republicans will successfully be able to pin the tail on the donkeys.
literally.
So I think we'll find out that this... All this bravado is designed by Elon Musk, I think, to draw attention to what his committee does and to try and say, hey, be careful of me. I've got lots of muscle. Look what I've done. But I think that Trump will not want the backlash that might be attributed to him if there is a lengthy shutdown. So if we have a two-day shutdown or something, that'll have an innocuous effect. I think Wall Street's current pessimism has not been the result of a concern about a government shutdown. So we're watching people who make bets who haven't yet bet that there's going to be a significant shutdown. I think the downturn is attributed to, we can talk about it later after the break, but this stock market change is attributed, I think, to long-term policy concerns about the Trump administration.
Sandy, we've all kind of envisioned, what things could look like if Trump got reelected. And you we spent a week with you talking about Project 2025 and what that could look like. And for all the reasons in the world, we kind of want to, go over a little bit more of that and jog your memory as we move into 2025 and some of the things that we probably never thought could possibly come to pass, because I thought that we had a government that was situated that these kind of things couldn't happen. And yet here it is. We'll talk about that and the impact that it's going to have on everyday citizens. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
With no possessions, made a shield for earthly gain. Imagine all the people led by men who have no shame. Oh, tidings of corruption and greed, corruption and greed. Oh, tidings of...
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
WRCE 107.7 FM News. I'm Joanne Krulatz. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is seeking public input by December 23rd, which is Monday, on how to improve conservation practice standards to maximize climate change mitigation and adaptation benefits as supported by peer-reviewed scientific literature. Conservation practices providing climate benefits are delivered through existing USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service conservation programs popular with producers. The Inflation Reduction Act, part of President Biden's Investing in America agenda, and Farm Bill provide funding for these programs. Specifically, NRCS is asking for public input on improvements that can be made to conservation practice standards for mitigation to maximize climate benefits for practice standards currently considered climate-smart agriculture and forestry mitigation activities, as well as on any other practices and innovations, and to support the agency's estimation of the mitigation benefits associated with the practice standards and adaptation to assist producers in adapting to and building resilience to current and future climate changes, such as seasonal temperature shifts and extremes, drought increasing wildfire hazards, sea level rise, movement of invasive species, and other issues. NRCS will look to identify immediate changes that can be implemented for funding available for fiscal year 2026 and will continue to identify and adopt additional changes in future years. Public comment should be submitted by this Monday. Anyone with questions may contact Dana Ashford Kornberger at 202-205-9434. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Can you imagine not even having contact info for your parents? That's how Trinity Rodman is rolling these days, saying her father, Dennis Rodman, is only her dad by blood. Trinity, who is a professional soccer player for the Washington Spirit, appeared on the Call Her Daddy podcast and said her father's hard-partying lifestyle as an NBA player was not conducive to him being a good parent. I believe that's true, but he did make a beautiful bride. FX's series The Old Man has two seasons in the books, and that is all, folks. The show about an ex-CIA operative played by Jeff Bridges performed well in its first season and received two Emmy nominations. Season 2 received 3 Critics' Choice nominations, but that did not stop FX from pulling the plug. Despite this, it's a pretty good show if you want to check it out. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It will be breezy this morning with a little more off and on light snow, although I don't expect much more in the way of accumulation. And then the wind will die down. We'll clear out this afternoon with temperatures in the mid-20s here today. Tonight it'll be clear, 8 above. Tomorrow partly cloudy, 19. We're back to near 30 by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. But I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it's Friday. That means it is time to recombobulate with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. And we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
All I want for Christmas is a whole bunch of stuff. But anything that you can buy me won't be enough. Cause everything I'm hoping for is intangible, like free healthcare and gun control. If you wanna make the world a better place, say alright,
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 alright.
If you want a peaceful world for Christmas Day, say alright,
alright,
alright.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. Sandy, the music is you know, festive.
It's pretty
spot
good,
on. Yeah. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, the music.
Well, it's about Christmas. It's about some of the stuff we're talking about as well. Some people hope for Christmas might be disappointed by this year's what we're going to get under the tree this year, but we can hope for it.
But so here's something, Sandy, that I had mentioned to you earlier. We're going to talk about the emoluments clause and why that's there and why Donald Trump hasn't had to divest in many of his businesses, but then. We can't say that without looking at Elon Musk. Elon Musk has drastically increased his fortune in the weeks following Donald Trump's presidential election victory. I don't think many people know this. To become the first person in history to have a net worth in excess of $400 billion. Listen to this. The Tesla and SpaceX CEO, who contributed over $100 million to the former and future president's campaign, saw his net worth grow by 69%. He went from $264 billion on November 6th to $447 billion on December 12th as he prepares to take over a major role in Trump's incoming administration as a co-leader of the Department of Government Efficiency. Sandy, what's at the root of this? Well, then this, much of the increase can be accounted for by the surge in Tesla stock value, which rose in the wake of the election with the expectation that Trump's new government will be good for the electric car industry. The company's stock has reached record highs, closing at $424 per share on Wednesday, elevating the company's market value to $1.36 trillion. But before you weigh in,
yeah,
they were condemning Joe Biden and electric cars. The Republicans constantly, nonstop, beating up Joe Biden and electric cars. Here, it's the exact opposite. And now they're in support.
Well, and you know, what they're doing is they're talking about, Trump has talked about putting immense tariffs on foreign cars. Well, the most threatening foreign cars out there are the cheap electric cars being
made in China.
So Tesla was threatened probably by the potential. China makes more electric cars than Tesla. There's one manufacturer of electric cars in China that's much bigger than Tesla. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the fact is, surprise, but the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And we're watching it happen. I mean, much of what is happening to Elon Musk now is not corruption per se. It's the fact that when government policy shifts in directions, it can make people richer or it can make people poorer. And Elon Musk happens to have his wealth tied up in things that have a great deal to do with government policy, electric vehicles, SpaceX, Starlink. You know, he's got huge contracts with the American government SpaceX. Starlink has substantial contracts, and Tesla depends a great deal on government policy. So,
Sandy, yeah, it's certainly unethical.
Well, it certainly smells, doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean, so a lot of what has controlled behavior in the past has been the American's public ability to smell, right? But apparently the American public has olfactory fatigue. That's the term when you've been around to smell so long, you don't smell it any longer, which is a godsend to us, you know, in a way. But, you know, if you happen to live in a place of filled with bad odors, but the olfactory fatigue we have about smelling corruption is going to be a serious problem. And I, like I've said before, I think the lesson that Trump learned a long time ago was that if you do things openly and notoriously, they lose this quality of scandal and become something which the American public is willing to accept. So, you know, the tape, the famous tape before he was elected the first time in which he discussed
women.
His handling of women, right. to put it literally. And the rest of his life really is the proof of that reality. If you do it openly and notoriously, and now we have a government that's being openly and notoriously inhabited by billionaires. He's putting people who have a direct interest in the regulations that they are now going to control. And by direct interest, I mean an interest associated with their wealth.
Sandy.
It's up to the American public to stand up to this.
Sandy,
because
go ahead.
Well, the rules of corruption in Washington are like a slalom course to be skied through. And the DOGE committee first of all, it's not a department, okay? Trump called it a department, but Ramaswamy and Elon Musk has their lawyers telling him, listen, don't call this a department. It's not a department. It's a commission. You aren't in the government. You're simply consulting to the government. You aren't getting paid. You know, all you're doing is exerting the power of your intellect, okay? And you're going to give people your opinions, and they don't have to follow them. But clearly, Elon Musk is in a position, there's so much muscle behind his opinions with X and, you know, the old Twitter, you know, so.
But Sandy, none of this should be accepted by Congress. Congress, doesn't it have a responsibility, Sandy, to make sure that
Congress has had ethical olfactory fatigue for decades, and it's gotten to the point where, you know, after COVID, some people can't smell at all anymore. And I think that Congress has caught ethical COVID some long time ago, and it affected their olfactory nerves because, you know, the standard in Washington of people who achieve wealth indirectly because of their knowledge of government and potentially their influence in government, hell, that's the way Washington, D.C. works.
Oh, Sandy, I guess before I go to the phone lines, I brought up the emoluments clause, which works for elected officials. But in the case of Elon Musk, I don't think many Americans understand yet that he's already inside of a month been able to double his wealth. And I'm sure he's going to continue to double his, as well as Donald Trump will be doubling and tripling and quadrupling his, while the American people stay where they are, marred and struggling to put food on the table. And so for those people who keep saying that we voted for Donald Trump because we the middle class have been left behind, what do they say when they look and see this picture? I mean, you don't have to be Picasso to see what this is.
No, obviously. And Elon Musk has so far never exhibited any tendency to worry about the welfare. He's not known to be a philanthropic
individual. No, but he's one guy. I'm talking about, I'm just, there has to be some checks on him. How come there are no checks on him?
Well, the, like I said, the laws give people voice, right? If you going back in time, William Randolph Hearst used the bully pulpit of his yellow journalism. He owned a bunch of newspapers. Newspapers have always been allowed to exert influence, and used to be able to exert a great deal of influence. William Randolph Hearst started the basically started the Spanish-American War. So, you know, we have to be careful. People should be entitled to express their opinion and be persuasive. The question now becomes whether the American public...
He's profiting from that. Tremendously.
Well, he's profiting indirectly. He's not profiting because the government is putting the money in his pocket or he's taking the money from the government. He's profiting because the advice that he's giving the government is being followed. Now, there are some conflict of interest rules that could and possibly should apply to him and to this Doge operation, but they fall in the range of sort of technical gray legal language, and how do you exercise restraint over somebody who's simply exercising their voice and exercising their the muscle of their opinion. And if it got to the Supreme Court, I think the Supreme Court's going to err on the side of worrying about First Amendment rights to free speech, and Elon Musk will argue that that's all he's exercising.
So, Sandy, my thing is, this man is soon to be a trillionaire, and there's nothing in the future that says the conditions of the middle class that's been the whole election was about, that there's anything that we can see that's going to improve any of that.
Well, we think the election should have been about the plight of the middle class. And the middle class that voted for Donald Trump hoped that Donald Trump would be responsive to the plight of the middle class and the policies that they adopted. I don't think Elon Musk has anything about the middle class in mind whatsoever with respect to the policies he's trying to...
Well, neither does Donald Trump.
Well, and I suspect Donald Trump doesn't either. So, you know, that's the sorry aspect of this, and we're going to watch as the policies unfold, because I think the tax bill, you know, the tax reductions they talk about, we'll see the extent. They'll throw a bone to the middle class, right? They'll give the middle class a little tiny bit of a tax reduction, because all we need to do is throw crumbs, let them eat cake, you know? This is the Marie Antoinette approach to the masses. Feed them something. And so, you know, the tax reductions that the middle class was satisfied with in 2017 were really very small compared to the tax benefits that were realized by the very wealth, because as we know, the rich get richer.
Well, you know, we're going to, let me say this to you, Sandy. Phone lines open at 855-752-4842. We're going to come to you guys, I promise you. Right at the top of the next hour. You know, Sandy, and you and the listening audience, you had better pay heed to the conversation that we're having. Sandy, I don't know if there's anything that we can do now, because these things, are they legal? Apparently, the things that are happening are legal, and our government can't do anything to stop it.
Well, the government can. You know, the K Street and what K Street did in the dark with lobbyists going into people's offices when we didn't know it and setting up dark PACs that would fund campaigns, all of that was legal, but it seemed to be surreptitious and dark. Now what we're seeing is this kind of influence exercised on like that influence squared, right, cubed. With very wealthy people, but they're doing it in the open. And what we need to do is go talk to our politicians and say, you guys got to listen to us. You don't need to listen to Elon Musk. It's a tough challenge, apparently.
Well, supposedly, some of the politicians, Donald Trump and the Republicans, supposedly did listen to the middle class, certain parts of our middle class, and they went along with them and thought that these are the guys that are going to fix it. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you right to the phone lines. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Here's another great reason to use the United States Postal Service this season. When sending a package, why venture outside? Ship with USPS for a true holiday ride. Want to stay cozy and warm? There's no need to roam. With free package pickup and labels printed from home, we have over 600,000 employees always in motion. And before you know it, your gift has delivered emotion. Spread the holiday joy this season with USPS's enhanced network. Learn more at usps.com/holidayride.
It was time to make our own Christmas traditions. For years, we've been trekking to both sets of in-laws, both Christmas dinners. It was just too much. So this year, we started to look for a place to get together in Alexandria, Minnesota. Christmas lights that will light up our kids' faces, a new adventure, create some wonder. It makes us wonder, why didn't we do this sooner?
Start planning your time together in the Lakes area. Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. News from the center, WRCE.
If I was there the night before, and I heard them knocking at my door, would I turn them down or let them in on Christmas Eve in Bethlehem? If I was watching o'er the fields when the angel of the Lord appeared, would I believe as the shepherds did on Christmas Eve in Bethlehem?
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Friday. It's Friday. My co-host Sandy was sending the music.
Well, it's Christmas. This one, it might not be the one I had in mind, but it's the irony of Christmas Eve in Bethlehem, and then the military and the problems that are occurring around the Holy Land right now. So this is Christmas music with an ironic twist is what I chose today.
All right, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the fact that Elon Musk's wealth has doubled since Donald Trump won the election. And so he went from $264 billion to over $440 billion inside of a month. And only the devil knows where it's going to end. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Happy Friday.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. You know, listening to the media over the last several weeks, really since the election, has been very, very difficult. And the primary reason is because, in my opinion, the media they've lost their way. There's no longer a fiduciary responsibility whatsoever. It's all about influencing people and collecting more money. It's all about the money, right? And, you know, as a net result, the American people are spinning around in circles. They don't know what's true and what isn't, even though, in my opinion, it's very, very easy to ascertain the truth from fiction. You just have to want to look. For whatever reason, it just seems we, we haven't had the motivation to. But so let me just get down to the fundamental real quick, if you don't mind. You know, we're talking about Elon Musk, and first of all, if he was going to play such a big role in the administration, shouldn't the public have been vetted about that maybe during, like, the debate or, you know, a year before the election, you know, 9 months before? The fact is the donors rule because we're in a pay-to-play system. Nobody can deny that. They write the language of the legislation. They fund the people who are going to be voting. And, of course, they're going to get the benefit. So when we see a very, very strong economy that we've witnessed here in America, leading the world in growth, in performance, there's plenty of money in our economy. The problem is it's not trickling down. And to me, this is such an easy solution to solve, and that is get back into specific tax code, and you know, let's figure this thing out. We don't have the time anymore. We have big problems on our hands, and until the people take over and accept the role. In a republic, the donors are wagging the dog here, and I'm afraid it's never going to end. You know, the electric vehicle conversation you guys were having earlier, and what we saw, it was big oil, dark money,
yes,
that was pounding against, yes, electric vehicles. Big oil, but again, there's no requirements for them to be visible, to be accountable to you and I. It has nothing to do anymore with the Constitution. We have literally handed the ball to these corporates through Citizens United and the Bilotti and Buckley Supreme Court cases in the mid-70s. We've handed the ball right over to them, and now we're letting them dictate the messages that are being fed to us that, quite frankly, all of them could be dismantled in minutes if we had a robust public media.
You know, Mike, but if you also had a populace, let's stop acting like the populace is supposed to understand this the complexities of the things that are going on. They they're just trying to live their lives, man. And they can't watch. They can't watch everything and everybody, and they're trusting in the people that they elect.
I think what we're begging for is responsible and effective leadership. Okay, and it needs to be both responsible and effective. I think the problem is that with Donald Trump, what we got was effective in terms of coalescing a populist movement, but we need someone who's going to lead us into the direction of solving Mike's problems.
Yeah, well, Mike's problems are all of our problems.
Absolutely. Right. I'm saying the problems Mike identifies.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
855-752-4842. You know, we're heading into a new year, and we've got to find some solutions and know the right questions to ask as we move into 2025. And Sandy Williams, my co-host, is always there. So 855-752-4842, your thoughts as we move into 2025. Hang on the lines, we'll come right to you.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film and TV critic Matt Miller. And it's a Bar Band Friday night as Terry Barr drops in with new music and great conversation. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. So I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston in Congress.
The House will be in order.
The House gaveled into session this morning. Speaker Mike Johnson looking to pass a spending bill before a midnight government shutdown. Members of the Teamsters walking the picket line at Amazon in several locations. ABC's Trevor Ault says they're looking for better pay and health insurance benefits for drivers.
Amazon doesn't recognize the Teamsters as a union representing their employees and says it won't negotiate with them. In a statement, what you see here are almost entirely outsiders, not Amazon employees or partners, and the suggestion otherwise is just another lie from the Teamsters. Amazon also saying
Christmas is on track and we fully expect to be able to fulfill our delivery promises for our customers.
Unionized Starbucks workers in three cities are also on strike. Wintry weather and bitter cold this week into next. No storm in the upper Midwest in the forecast. Busiest roads around LA, Washington, D.C., and Orlando. This is ABC News.